Bobby leaned across his lap to look out the window, thinking in the back of his mind about what Ted had just been saying, touching and touching the way people do when they're close, even as he peered up Asher Avenue. Ahead was a three-way intersection, Asher Avenue, Bridgeport Avenue, and the Connecticut Pike, all coming together at a place known as Puritan Square. Trolley tracks gleamed in the afternoon sun. Delivery trucks honked impatiently as they waited their turns to dart through the crush. A sweating policeman with a whistle in his mouth and white gloves on his hands was directing traffic. Off to the left was the William Penn Grill, a famous restaurant which was supposed to have the best steaks in Connecticut. Mr. Biderman had taken the whole office staff there after the agency sold the Waverly estate, and Bobby's mom had come home with about a dozen William Penn Grill books of matches. Its main claim to fame, his mom had once told Bobby, was that the bar was over the Harwich town line, but the restaurant proper was in Bridgeport. Parked in front, on the very edge of Puritan Square, was a DeSoto automobile of a purple Bobby had never seen before, had never even suspected. The color was so bright it hurt his eyes to look at it. It hurt his whole head. Their cars will be like their yellow coats and sharp shoes and the greasy perfume stuff they use to slick back their hair, loud and vulgar. The purple car was loaded with swoops and darts of chrome. It had fender skirts. The hood ornament was huge. Chief DeSoto's head glittered in the hazy light like a fake jewel. The tires were fat white walls, and the hubcaps were spinners. There was a whip antenna on the back. From its tip, there hung a raccoon tail. "The low men," Bobby whispered. There was really no question. It was a DeSoto, but at the same time, it was like no car he had ever seen in his life, something as alien as an asteroid. As they drew closer to the clogged three-way intersection, Bobby saw the upholstery was a metallic dragonfly green. The color nearly howled in contrast to the car's purple skin. There was white fur around the steering wheel. "Holy crow, it's them."
"You have to take your mind away," Ted said. He grabbed Bobby by the shoulders. Up front, the Yankees blared on and on, the driver paying his two fares in the back seat no attention whatsoever, thank God for that much at least, and shook him once hard before letting him go. "You have to take your mind away, do you understand?"
He did. George Sanders had built a brick wall behind which to hide his thoughts and plans from the children. Bobby had used Maury Wills once before, but he didn't think baseball was going to cut it this time. What would?